Hello and welcome to the podcast.
I'm really excited about today's topic. We're diving into something so fundamental yet often overlooked in education, understanding learner development.
Exactly. It's such a rich topic, and there's so much to unpack. We're going to explore what it means to truly read learners, where they are, how they grow, and how we, as educators, can guide that growth effectively.
Right, and to make it practical, we're going to connect classic theories, like those of Piaget and Vygotsky, with modern brain research and tools teachers can use in the classroom. It's about making theory come alive in everyday teaching.
Let's start with why this matters. First off, learning builds on prior knowledge and experience. If teachers don't know where a learner is starting from, their lessons just won't stick.
Exactly. And it's not just about academic readiness. Things like motivation, self-esteem, and the teacher-student relationship play a massive role in whether learning even begins, let alone progresses.
Plus, development isn't linear. Children grow in trajectories, not in neat little boxes tied to their age. Good teachers know how to spot these differences and adapt.
And we can't forget inclusivity. Cultural and linguistic awareness aren't optional extras. They're essential for understanding learners accurately and teaching in a way that's fair and effective.
Right. So by the end of today's episode, we hope our listeners will have a toolkit to map a learner's starting point, recognize individual differences, and make teaching choices that support real growth.
We'll also look at practical strategies for identifying special educational needs, responding to cultural diversity, and using classroom evidence to shape planning and feedback.
That's the plan. So let's dive into our first big idea, developmental trajectories. Lisa, could you kick us off?
Of course. So when we talk about developmental trajectories, we're looking at patterns of growth rather than rigid stages. Modern brain research, like PET and fMRI scans, shows us that while classic ideas like Piaget stages still hold value, they need nuance.
Right. For example, Piaget outlined four stages: sensorimotor, preoperational, concrete operational, and formal operational. These stages give us a rough guide, but the ages aren't fixed, and a child's experiences heavily influence how and when they develop certain skills.
Exactly. Let's break it down a bit. In the sensorimotor stage, which is from birth to about 2 years, babies learn by doing, touching, grasping, and exploring. A big milestone here is object permanence, where they understand that objects still exist even when out of sight.
And for teachers, that means creating rich sensory environments with lots of opportunities for exploration. Moving on to the pre-operational stage, which is around 2 to 6 years, kids experience a language explosion and engage in symbolic play, but their thinking is still pretty egocentric.
Absolutely. At this stage, teaching should rely on concrete objects and visual supports. Abstract concepts are harder to grasp, so things like storytelling and dramatization work really well.
Then we have the concrete operational stage, from about 7 to 12 years. Here, kids develop logical thinking but still need concrete reference. They can classify objects, understand conservation, and think through problems step by step.
Which means hands-on activities like experiments, real-world problems, and using manipulatives are key. Finally, there's the formal operational stage, typically starting around age 12. This is when abstract and hypothetical reasoning begins to emerge.
That's when you can introduce debates, project-based learning, and open-ended questions that don't have a single right answer. But we should note that these stages aren't hard and fast. Kids can reason at higher levels in areas they're familiar with, like a skateboarder understanding balance intuitively.
Exactly. And this ties back to brain development. The brain goes through periods of rapid growth, like synaptogenesis in the early years, followed by pruning, where unused connections are eliminated. This process continues well into adolescence and even adulthood.
Which is why early experiences are so critical. But it's also encouraging to know that the brain remains plastic throughout life, so meaningful learning experiences can have an impact at any age.
That's such an important point. Now, let's shift gears a bit and talk about individual differences. Not all learners approach tasks the same way, and recognizing these differences is crucial for effective teaching.
Right. Some students might have strong metacognitive skills, while others might have gaps in their prior knowledge. And then there are differences in learning styles. Some kids are more experimental, while others are more reflective or conceptual.
And as teachers, we need to match our approaches to these differences. For instance, a reflective learner might thrive with journaling or quiet time to process, while an experimental learner might need hands-on activities to engage.
It's also about avoiding the one-size-fits-all trap. Quick diagnostic tools, like observation prompts or formative assessments, can help map where each learner is and what they need to move forward.
Exactly. And this also ties into recognizing special educational needs. Spotting early signs and making simple classroom adjustments, like adding scaffolds or using multisensory tasks, can make a huge difference.
And then there's cultural and linguistic diversity. It's about seeing students' backgrounds as assets, not barriers. Practical strategies like inclusive talk, formative feedback, and valuing students' home languages can really enhance learning.
Absolutely. We'll dive deeper into these strategies later, but I think it's so important to emphasize that inclusion isn't an add-on, it's central to good teaching.
Couldn't agree more. All right, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll explore how social interaction and emotional context shape learning.